Living Seed Media brings to you God's Word, which is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives. May the Lord impact your heart as you encounter His Word. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659, 0703-768-1198. Email address nsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. Let us sit back and listen as the servant of God brings forth the word of life.
Tonight, not only are we going to be talking about the imperativeness of preaching, we are now going to be looking at the implication of preaching the gospel. Please go now to Romans chapter 10. We read from verse 4 in the afternoon. I still feel we can read Romans 10 from verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. For Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise: Say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sand went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Let me just read on. Let me finish the chapter. It doesn't do any harm to read the whole chapter, does it? No. But I say, did not Israel know? First, Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people,
and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold. He says, I was fond of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he says, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Will I ask you to quickly look at verse 4 as a very, very powerful conclusion of the first segment of the salvation package. That verse 4 gave a very, very good summary. And what did it say? It said, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Will anybody help me read that passage from Good News? Good News?
From Good News, huh? Romans verse 4 of that chapter. For Christ has brought the law to an end, so that everyone who believes is put right with God.
Christ has brought the law to an end, so that everyone who believes is put right with God. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. That is, everything that the law demands to make any man right with God has been concluded in Christ Jesus. So that anybody that believes, anybody that put his trust in Christ Jesus, there is nothing that God is looking for again. There is nothing more that he wants you to do in order for him to be happy with you, in order for him to make you right with himself. Whereas several people are looking for what to do, how to do it, regulations to keep, different activities. The word of God says, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Let me say it very simply again. That whenever a man comes to believe in Christ Jesus, every requirement for being right, every requirement for being acceptable to God is met in Christ Jesus. Every other thing that any man could try to do in order to please God has always fallen short. He said, we have all gone astray, and our righteousness is like what? Filthy rags before God. But when God gave Jesus his only begotten Son and left him to go to Calvary, and he died and he was buried, everything that God was looking for to set men free and bring man back to himself was fulfilled in Christ Jesus. And when he rose from the dead, his resurrection was a divine signature that a new creation, the first fruits among the dead, has now come. And God was satisfied with it. And the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost was God confirming to us that this same Christ has now been exalted. So the ministry, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, was but a demonstration that that same Christ has now been exalted, seated at the right hand of the Father. So may I note with you that concerning righteousness, there's nothing more to do. There's only one thing to do. What is it? To believe. How will I live above sin? It does not involve all those activities, those regulations. It only remains only one matter. What is that thing? Just to believe. So, whereas Paul was crying for the people of Israel, then my heart, desire, and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. So I bear them record that they have a zeal, but not according to knowledge. They were ignorant of God's righteousness. They were ignorant of God's way of making men right. And they were going about to establish their own righteousness. They have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Because Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that does what? That believes. Now, that forms the conclusion, and is very, very conclusive, that what any man needs to do to be saved is just to believe. The vilest offender will receive pardon the moment he believes. The most notorious sinner will be gloriously pardoned and saved, and his iniquity God will remember no more, if only he can do what? He can believe. The one that has been subjected to demonic activity for years, that had been used even by demons to cause much havoc, the Bible says, if only he can believe and believe the Lord Jesus Christ, he will be saved. You remember the jailer that encountered Paul when they cast him into the prison. And that night, as Paul was singing, the Bible said the chains broke. And the man was about to kill himself because he found that all the prisoners were loosed. And Paul said, "Do not do yourself any harm. We are all here." And the man fell down on his knees and said, "What shall I do to be saved?" Do you remember? And in Acts chapter 16 verse 31, Paul simply said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be what? You and your household." And that same night, he believed. He received the Lord Jesus Christ into his life. And he was saved. He was even baptized that night. The plan of salvation is complete. What it will take to change the most notorious sinner does not involve money. It does not involve any rigorous recitation. It does not need traveling to Jerusalem or traveling to Mecca. Are we together? What does it require only? Just to believe. Just to believe. Now, on that grant, can you see how God has made salvation, forgiveness of sin, so simple? God has made it so simple and so available to every man. Even though people would like to make it complicated, people would like to make themselves very important by giving 7 steps, 15 steps, 21 steps to be saved. But when you read your Bible very well, what does it take to be saved? Just to believe. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died for our sins, that He was buried, and that He was raised again for our sake, and ascended bodily to heaven. When you believe with your heart, you shall be saved. Very simple. And to go on, by looking at the simplicity of being saved, the simplicity of men coming to the kingdom of God without any costs, the word of God went on to explain how simple it is. Let me go on. It said Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandment shall live by them. Permit me to spend just 2 minutes on that. Let me inform you that the righteousness that is based on the law is a very complicated matter. What's complicated about it? Even if you obey all the law and you broke one, what are you? You are still an offender. The reason why nobody can please God by keeping the law is that even if you keep all the law and you mistakenly break one, you are breaking the law. Let's read the Bible quickly so that we can establish a little of that. Galatians. Please go to Galatians chapter 2. Please, quickly. All of this that we are dealing with, they are taking us back to the basics of the gospel. So that when we preach the gospel, when we present the gospel to people, we must not add to it. We must not make it complicated. But you will see now. Galatians. Are you in Galatians? Will you please read chapter 3? Verse 10 and verse 11. For as many as are of the works of the law, what did the Bible say they are? They are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. It is not just that he had not even kept the law sometime. He may have kept the law, but because he did not continue in how many things? In all the things that were written in the law, he is already under a curse. So if we decide that we are going to preach the righteousness that comes by the law, even those that seem to be succeeding by working hard to make sure that they don't break the law, the Bible still says, they are what? They are under a curse. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. You can see that we are returning back again to the same passage in Romans. Now, but what does the Bible say about the righteousness which is of faith? Romans 4, and come with me to verse 6. Romans 10, verse 6. It says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. Do you appreciate that Bible verse? That the righteousness based on faith says, don't say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven? That is, to bring Christ down. Don't say, oh God. You know, you can imagine sometime when we are urging people. We are urging people to seriously pray so that they can be saved. Somehow, we tell them ourselves, you better pray. Pray that Jesus can come down from heaven to come and save you. So, oh Lord, come down. Oh Lord, come down. Oh Lord. The righteousness which is of faith says, do not say in your heart, who will go down? Who will go to heaven? To do what? To bring Jesus Christ down. Or, who will descend into the grave? Who will descend into the abyss? Or who will descend into the deep? That is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. Even sometimes we like to dramatize in order to add some mysticism onto our faith. Sometimes even as a preacher, you think if you just preach the word of God very simply, people will not respect you as a man of God. So what do? You change your voice. Said, if you really, really want God to really have mercy on you, you need to know that it is not as simple as that. And if the Lord Almighty were to look down upon you now, He will consume you. Because it's a consuming fire. You will draw your voice in such a manner that the people will say, man of God, pray for me. Say, well, before I pray for you. Because if I don't really pray for you, you are not going anywhere. Now you need to kneel down very seriously and show God that you are really, 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 really sorry. Where are your tears? You that your tears have not even filled a bucket. How can you qualify for the blood of the Son of the Living God? Weep! So that God can have mercy on you. Now, is that the gospel? What is the man of God trying to do now? He's trying to make it complicated. Even though men may shed tears, It is not their tears that saves them. Even though people may beat their chest, and sometimes we have gone to places where people start beating chair. Some will start rolling on the ground, hitting their head on the floor, and say, God, this is my useless head. I will break it so that you know I'm serious. Excuse me. If you break your head on the floor, you will still go to hell. It's not by works of righteousness, but by His grace alone. It's not by works of righteousness, but by His grace alone. It's not by works of righteousness, but by His grace alone. So I am complete in Him. Complete in Him. I am complete in Him. Complete in Him. I am complete in Him. But what does the righteousness that comes by faith, what does he say? What saith it? The word is night day, even in your mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we do what? We preach. Now I want God to give us an understanding of the fact that because Christ has finished the work of our salvation, what remains for people to enter into their rest is just to believe. Let me inform you, those that will perish, there's only one thing they did not do that will make them to perish. What is that? That they did not believe. It is not that you are a sinner that is the embarrassment to God. If you were not a sinner, there would not have been need for Jesus to die. But because we are sinners, that's why Jesus died. So that you are a sinner was not the thing that is the matter. But that you are a sinner who refused to believe God's answer, God's solution for our deliverance. That's where your offense is. Excuse me? What is the offense that will take people to hell? Unbelief. Unbelief. Because if anybody can believe, by coming to Jesus Christ, every iniquity, God will pardon. Even if you have killed somebody, but you now came under the word of God and you realize, and you came in repentance and said, Lord, I believe you, He will still forgive you. Do you know that Brother Paul said, I was a murderer, but I have obtained what? Mercy, because he believes. Sometimes you look at a terrible sinner and you are telling yourself that, this one is very far from the kingdom of God. And before he can be saved, it will take, it will take a special grace of God. What do you mean by that? Which grace of God is not special? You see, the quiet misunderstanding of the gospel is always wanting us to add something. Do you know that some of you think that those that are not very wayward, those that are very, very gentle, they are not very bad, you think that it is easier for them to be saved than those that are terrible drunkards. Do you know that you are making a mistake? No one is easier to be saved than another. The only thing that every sinner needs, whether a small sinner or a big sinner, what do they need? To believe. To believe. God has made our deliverance easy. He has paid the price. He only came to preach what he has done, that if we believe. Can you imagine how simple God made their salvation in the wilderness? When the serpent was biting them, God simply told Moses, lift up the serpent made of brass, lift it on the tree, that whosoever has been bitten by the serpent on the ground, if he can only look, what will happen? He will be saved. As simple as it is, even if the serpent bites you and he could have killed you, but if you look and you saw the serpent on the tree, without doing anything else, without carrying stick to go and kill the head of that serpent, you will be saved. But if you did not look and you gathered all your strength to kill the serpent on the ground, what will happen to you? You will still die. God made what it takes to be saved very simple. Let me also note, he does not need education to be saved. What did I say? He does not need great learning to be saved. Honestly speaking, you don't even need to know all the Greeks or the Aramaic. You don't need to know how to explain the book of Revelation from chapter 1 to chapter 22. Neither do you need to know everything about the Passover, about all the special feasts before you can be saved. What does it take to be saved? Just to believe. That's why the illiterate who believes will be saved, just like the educated who believes. The poor man who believes will be saved as gloriously as the rich man who believes. The old man who believes shall be saved as a small child who believes they will be saved. Am I communicating with you? Nobody is easier to be saved. Please tell yourself, no one else is easier to be saved or to be converted. It only takes their believing. Can I tell you right now? The most notorious sinner can be saved if he does what? If he believes. Some time ago, I was sitting in my parlor, and there was this beer parlor that was not too far from the house where we were living. And a man just walked in. I think he was drunk. And just straight into my parlor. And he was already undressing himself. He wanted to urinate. And he was going straight to my bedroom to go and urinate. The gospel is wonderful. I want you to believe the power of the gospel. He said, yes, this is my uncle's house. I want to ease myself. The first thing in my mind was to say, look, get out of this place. But I'm hearing the Lord say, I brought him here. guide him to go and urinate. So I took him to the toilet. He went and said, who are you, sir? Who are you? Who are you? Is my uncle around? My uncle is the owner of this house. When he finished, you know, in my mind, my normal mind, if I see a man who is drunk, I will not preach to him. Because in my mind, he is drunk. How can he believe? Leave him alone. And I wanted to do that when the Lord told me, speak the word of God to him. I said, but he's drunk. He said, no. He is drunk mentally. But his spirit, where the transaction of salvation normally takes place, is alive. I was surprised. I was thoroughly surprised. So as I said, okay, sit down, I want to talk to you about the word of God. Me, I'm not ready for that. And he stood up, he wanted to go. I said, you mean you want to go away from the presence of God? He said, how can I go away from the presence of God? And then he sat down. You see, all of this, if not God, how could you get me to preach to a drunkard? But something was telling me, keep speaking to him. So I drew out my Bible. I was speaking. Something was telling me that as you are speaking the word, you are planting the seed into his spirit. I couldn't believe quickly. But as I was doing so, something miraculous to me happened. Suddenly, as if his drunkenness just disappeared, he sat up. Where I am? Where am I? Where am I? I said, you are here. And God is talking to you. The next question is, they say, but I don't like to do what I'm doing. What can I do to be saved? 2 minutes ago, dead drunk. Just 2 minutes, something I've done. And as the word of God, as I was preaching to him, suddenly he came under conviction. And he knelt down. If you enter my heart, I still didn't believe. I said, it's not serious. Because I wasn't expecting that he will quickly kneel down. And neither did I believe that his decision is real. Now, I tell you something. When he knelt down, again, I brought the word of God to him and said, the biggest problem in your life is your heart. And what Jesus wants to do now is to take away the heart of stone and he will put his own heart there. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anybody hears my voice and opens, I will come in. And I heard the young man said, I want Jesus to come into my heart. I said, are you sure? He said, I want Jesus to come into my heart. I want him to take away the heart of stone from my heart. I want Jesus to come into my heart. So I led him through that simple prayer. Jesus, come into my heart. I surrender myself to you. And we prayed. Go and ask me whether I believed. I didn't. Because to me, I thought that for anybody to be saved, he must be intelligent. Before he can be saved, he has to be seriously. In fact, when he said, I'm sorry, I don't know why I'm doing this, I thought he was still drunk. But I want to tell you what happened to me. When this man stood up from that prayer, he brought out a packet of cigarettes, 555, that he was smoking. He brought it and said, sir, what do I do with this now? I said, you can't smoke again because you are now a child of God. Then he gave it to me. Then we destroyed it. He asked me, he said, excuse me, sir. Before I left the beer parlor, I already booked a harlot that I was going to sleep with tonight. My money is already with her. And I already ordered for a carton of beer. What do I do now? I said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. I say, the boy that was drinking there before has passed away. Behold, a new person is here now. The man that was paying for a harlot has passed away. Actually, he has passed away. Say, can I go and collect my change? Look, I couldn't believe. Because in my mind, that is too simple. Do you know that he went to the beer parlor across and he told them, I'm a new creation. All things are past. Behold, all things have become new. I no longer drink. I no longer smoke. I no longer want a harlot. The woman said, since you have paid me, you have paid me. I'm available to you. I can't pay you back. If you want to come, come. But if you are not coming, your money is finished. And the boy left the money. He left the carton of beer. And he came back and said, they didn't give me my money, but I'm different now. Now, in my mind, I wanted him to stay with me. So that I can be sure that he will stand. You know, unbelief is worrying me a lot. But he had to leave. Because he had to report at his work. He was working in Zakibiam. He left. I just prayed for him. Can you understand what was then the miracle? I didn't see him nor hear about him for another 3 months. I don't know where he was. I told myself, I told you now, he was drunk. Only for Brother Stephen Yim. Is Stephen Yim in the class tonight? Where is Stephen? Yanongo. Alright. Praise the Lord. Only for Stephen Yim to get to Zakibiam. And he was visiting another house. And he met this young man. Witnessing to his colleagues. And telling them, are you hearing me? That their heart is terrible. And that their heart has to be changed. That what happened to him is that his own heart was changed. And since his heart changed, he could never drink or smoke again. So while he was preaching, Stephen Yim walked into that house. And because Stephen Yim was living with me that time, he was there when this young man repented. He recognized Brother Steve. Then he said, these are the men that showed me Christ. These are the men. This is the man. It was Brother Steve that came back to Kasinala and said, sir, do you remember that boy that got drunk that came to your house? We thought he was not serious. He had been serious. So he had been preaching. And he had been getting other people converted. Praise the Lord. What I'm telling you is that it does not take anything more than to believe. A drunkard that believes shall be saved. A womanizer that believes shall be what? Saved. I need to share these testimonies with you because I have found that Part of the hindrance to the gospel is the hindrance in the heart of the preacher. When you yourself no longer believe the gospel, the simplicity of it, there is no faith in you to let the gospel work the way it should work. I used to go about doing house to house witnessing. Still, I was in Kasinala then. And I was doing this house to house witnessing, and I entered into a house. And there was this young man. I just stumbled into his house. But when I got in, I realized that he was one of the junior staff in one of the departments in the college. But I met him smoking Indian hemp. Whether you meet him in the morning or you meet him in the evening, he looks permanently drunk. He was a drug addict. In fact, this is how you know my own. You know, when you have known people that normally either take drug or they are smoking their hemp, they become uncoordinated. His eyes is like he's dozing all the time. So when I went into his house, he was still just smoking marijuana right at the point. And he did not hide it. He said, well, that's what I do. Do you want some? But he knew me to be a lecturer. He said, well, a whole lecturer, what are you doing going up and down here? I said, it's because of you. He said, because of me? I said, yes, Jesus died for you. Then the man sat up. He said, really? I thought I have terribly offended God to the extent that he can never have anything to do with a man like me. I said, it's not true. Jesus died for a sinner. Paul said, I'm one of the chief sinners. So the word of God, I preached to him. I was surprised when he knelt and he said, did I say Jesus will forgive me? I said, he will if you believe. And he knelt down. And I prayed for him. And he gave his life to Christ. But again in my heart, I thought that for a drug addict who is smoking Indian hemp, what it would take for him to be delivered is more than to believe. That he needs some special. Hey. But I prayed with him and I left. Do you know what I discovered? The following day, he traced me to the department. He said, good morning, sir. Since you left yesterday, the desire to smoke disappeared. Suddenly, I began to be hungry. And I realized that something is changing inside of me. I hate those things I used to smoke. That's why I woke up very early this morning, because I thought something had become wrong with me. I said, nothing is wrong with you. Jesus has come into your life. Then he got a Bible. My God, the way this young man was voraciously reading the Bible. In my mind, I was still asking, is this not quarter to madness? Am I really sure yes, he's converted? Could it not be that he's getting mad? He said, can I come to your house? He will come. He came every day. I'm reading Bible with him. He's asking me questions. I realized that
Everything has changed. He has become a new man. I was in the department for a while. He will come every time. We will speak the word of God. He will come for Bible study. And his life changed. He started dressing normally. His salary began now to leave some few money in his hand. Can I tell you what happened? By the time he left, again, I thought maybe I've lost him. Only for me to, I don't know whether I traveled to Anyi somewhere, right around Shitile. And I met him. He has planted about 3 churches, preaching about in the village. He came and said, "Sir, the seed that you planted in my life has continued. Come and see all these people." I was overwhelmed. May the Lord give you faith in the gospel. Stop looking at the wind. Stop looking at the cloud. Bible says, "He who regarded the wind will not sow, and he who considered the cloud will not reap. In the morning, sow your seed. In the night, withhold not your hand, because you don't know whether this one or that one will work out. As you do not know how bones grow in the womb of a woman that is pregnant, so you don't know the way of the Spirit." But quietly in our mind, maybe because the kind of gospel they gave us is the gospel of do it yourself, is the gospel of legalism, is the gospel of struggling. It did not point to the man of Calvary. Many of us, we were never free. So we could never believe that the simple word of God will set men free. So we like to add to the scripture. Now the Bible says. But what does it say? The righteousness which is of faith. The word is nigh you, and even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, what will happen? Thou shalt be saved. Let's read that together. I want all of you to read that for me. Verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, what will happen? Thou shalt be saved. Did he say thou may be saved? He said somehow, probably, you may be saved. What did he say? Thou shalt be saved. You will be saved. It's as definite. It's as definite. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto what? Salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now, you see, I was saying the other day to my students, I said, one of the things that have challenged me, as I look at the brothers in the New Testament who preach, they did not have the complete Bible. They only had the Old Testament scriptures. And it is the scriptures, the Old Testament, that they used to preach the gospel. It has challenged me a lot. It means that it is the Old Testament scripture, the law, the prophet, the historical books, the Psalms, the poetry that they used to preach Jesus Christ. How can I, who have both the Old Testament and the New Testament, how can I, how am I finding it difficult to preach Jesus Christ from such a rich library of the Bible. I've been begging God that, Lord, make me an effective communicator of the gospel. Because I'm realizing that thousands will be saved if the word of God is clearly preached. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are we together? Are you hearing me? Thousands will be saved. They will be converted. I'm happy to testify of another colleague of mine. He was a copper who came to serve in my department. And because I am the head of department, I'm the one to receive him. I was going to give him assignment. So when he came and he landed into the office, I looked at his particulars. I just felt like speaking to him. And I just spoke the word of God to him. Just spoke the word of God to him. And as I spoke the word of God, do you know what happened? He was violent. I was really confused. He said, "What is all this kind of thing? Why are you testing me up and down like this? Can I not breathe? I'm leaving from my father's house." He said, "I must make sure I am close to the Bible." And I went to so-so and said, "I still came here to serve, and you will not even let me sit down. You are confronted." Oh my God. I was confused. Because I did not shout at him, I didn't know what brought that. Then he looked at me and said, "Excuse me. I don't like you to talk to me about this thing." And he left. I thought that the word of God I preached to him did not work. That was what I thought. I did not believe in the power of the gospel. So, I also did like that. I said, "Well, since he doesn't want me to trouble him, so let me not be troubling him. Let me not be troubling him." So I also left it. I kept quiet. I said, "Good morning," he said, "Good morning." I didn't know that the word of God I preached to him never allowed him to sleep. I didn't know that he struggled and struggled and struggled until he gave up. I didn't know that he knelt down and said, "Oh God, this thing that Mr. Akani is saying, I cannot run away from it. I give my life to Christ." I didn't know he did. And because for me, since he said he doesn't want, I thought that that is the end. So he came every day. He will greet me, "Good morning, sir." And instead of going, he will still be parabolating around my office. He was expecting me to say, "Okay, concerning what we were saying." Oh my God. I didn't. We discussed the lectures. I gave him courses to teach. All of that. Sometimes I visited him in his house. But because he assumed he doesn't want anybody to trouble him with the gospel, I never spoke. One day, to my greatest embarrassment, he came to the office. He said, "Mr. Akani, you don't love me." I said, "What?" He said, "Why did you leave me? You spoke to me and you caused confusion for my life. Since that time, I could not go back to live in sin anymore. But I came to you, you never followed me at all." I said, "What? But you told me not to speak to you." He said, "No. I didn't tell you not to speak to me." I said, "What did you say?" He did something that challenged me. But I'm grateful to God today that he's a child of God. And he's doing well for Jesus.
He's now a big man in his career and God is helping him. Praise the Lord. You know what he did? One of our students, my student, whom I have preached to, and she has repented, and I'm following that up seriously. He said to himself, he said, the only way I am likely to turn to him, to preach to him again, is if he tries to catch that my new convert as a girlfriend. He told me by himself, he said, I did it deliberately because I know that I cannot run away from the word of God. So I thought that if I came near your daughter, at least something will make you to call me and say, why are you doing this? Foolish man that I was, I didn't do that. What did I do? I only called my daughter. I warned her. I said, don't go near the unbeliever. Oh God. Be naughty on equally yoke with that guy, the unbeliever. But the girl was telling me, says, excuse me, why don't you talk to him? He looks as if he has believed. I said, no, 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 I know him. I know him before you know him. They are married today. The other day I called him, he said, let me hand you over to your daughter. The gospel is indestructible. The gospel is the incorruptible seed. When we plant it and plant it faithfully, it has capacity to germinate. The Bible says, the word that goeth out of his mouth shall not do what? Shall not return to him void. In the morning, preach. In the evening, do what? Preach. When they say don't talk to us again, talk to them. When they get annoyed, cool them down, still give them the gospel. The word of God has power. It can defend itself even when you are not there. I'm so excited to tell you that my brother is doing very well. He's spearheading the preaching of the word of God where he is. In another 1 or 2 weeks, I will be going to their college to do a meeting for the entire college. That's what God can do. Do you believe the gospel? Do you believe that the plan of God for salvation of men is not as complicated as the church has made it? Am I talking to somebody? But now, where is the problem? Where is the challenge? The scripture says, verse 11, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Do you appreciate that Bible verse? God is not a respecter of persons. Anybody that call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All these passages you are seeing, they are quoted verbatim from the Old Testament. That's what God said. But now, you now follow me to verse 14. Where is the matter? Where is the difficulty? Why is such a very simple process of being converted, why is it not bringing thousands into the kingdom of God? Why are people still going to go to hell if the message is so simple like this? Why? The question that God began to ask in that passage will be the answer for us as we draw this message to a conclusion tonight. Did you see verse 14? I want all of you now to now go to verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, until a man has been confronted with the word of God to the extent that he can believe from his heart, let me tell you, he cannot call on the Lord. One of the things that makes some of us to be confused is that we think that many people are calling on the Lord. But the secret is this. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Did you see the second question? What's the third question? And how shall they hear without a preacher? What is the fourth question? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Four related questions that we have to deal with if we are going to respond properly unto this charge that God is giving us. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world among all the nations for a witness, and then shall the end come. Let's take the first question. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Which means before we start telling them, call on the Lord, whosoever call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ever before we begin to tell people to call on the Lord, they can't call on him whom they have not, what? Believed. And then the word of God now say, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? That became a very big question to my mind. The question was that I thought that many people have heard, but the truth is that they have never heard. Brother Tewa said, do you remember Dick Zell of blessed memory today? Dick Zell, a brother who has gone to be with the Lord. One day, I was going about with my house to house evangelism, and I went to this man's house. Of course, he was the director of nursing for the College of Education at the time. He was a big man. And have you ever seen big men sitting in their armchair with their leg on the stool like this? That's how the Kinzer was sitting on his seat with his goggle on his eyes. And I came near. Oh, good evening, sir. Say, yes. Who are you? Oh, I say, I'm Mr. Bile Akoni. I'm a lecturer in the physics department. Say, are you one of those young people? I say, yes, sir. Any problem? I say, no problem, except that I wanted to talk to you. He said, okay, bring a chair. So I sat by him. And I brought the word of God out. I said, I wanted to talk to you about Jesus. He laughed. About Jesus. Who told you I don't know about Jesus? These are some of you go about thinking that you know something. It was very confrontational. For your information, I'm a deacon in the Baptist Church. I became a deacon in 1962. I was baptized in 1951. Were you born by that time? Very, very religious. I was still sitting there. Now I've met a man who was baptized in 1951, who became a deacon in 1962, and the Baptist churches that are in Kasinala, in Adipo, in Jatoka, he said we are the one who started them. So I sat there. I was looking, Lord, how do I enter this now? And then the Lord said, I should bring out, I think 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Know you not that warmongers, adulterers, drunkards, you know, I was reading that scripture, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. This one, neither this, neither that, neither this, neither that, neither that. I say, excuse me, sir. Did you notice that the Bible did not say, whosoever is a deacon will make heaven? Let's look at this list. Is there any of these things that is in your life? The Bible said, don't be deceived. Neither of this will inherit eternal life. Something changed that evening. I couldn't explain to you the word of God. The discussion changed. Said, do you mean that unless somebody is perfect, he cannot make heaven? I said, and the Bible said, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. He said, to be honest with you, well, I'm a deacon. I don't drink. But I said, what is the but? And I saw that. I'm a womanizer. The word of God gripped him. He said, but I have tried to stop. I couldn't stop. So I have believed that that is my own but in life. That's my weakness. There's nobody without a weakness. Then the word of God came. That actually, sir, there is nothing you can do that can change you, because a leopard cannot change his skin. This is why Jesus said to Nicodemus, who was very religious, he was fasting twice a week, he was this, when I painted the picture, he said, I thought that Bible passage is saying, whosoever is born of water and of spirit, and since I have been baptized, I said, no, sir. When you are born again, you will have a brand new life. Oh, I quickly went to 1 John chapter 3. Whatsoever is born of God does not sin. Because, what? The seed of God abides in. I said, the real problem, sir, is that the seed is not in you. How can I get it? That was the question we ended with. And I saw him knelt down with tears, and he gave his life to Christ. Then he asked a question. He said, do you mean, if you didn't come to me today with all my activity in the Baptist church? I have been a deacon since 1962. I was baptized in 1951. You mean I will have gone to hell? Why didn't they talk to us like this in the church? You think that people have heard? You think that many, many religious people have heard? How can they believe in whom of whom they have not heard? That Baba gave his life to Christ. If you remember, Emmanuel, you know, he became our ardent disciple. Eh? The wife is here. Praise the Lord. Is Mrs. Zay in this meeting tonight? Praise the Lord. That's a miracle. So, you know, he now carried the Bible. He's now led the Bible. Now you go to his office in the college. He's preaching. He said, Bravile, wherever you are going, we must go together. Because I didn't know this for many years. I must tell everybody. So, I was invited to go and preach at Ogoja. One of those years. In a revival service. In the Baptist church. The greatest difficult people to preach to are the very religious guys. Those who have already been inoculated with half-truth. Oh God. It's better for somebody not to even know than to know what is not the truth. They have an impression that they are already in the kingdom, but they are not inside. Very difficult. So I went for this revival meeting. That's the first time I met our brother Agabi. You remember Agabi? Maybe Agabi is in the meeting tonight. Is brother Agabi in this meeting tonight? He's likely to be around. Hey, I preach, oh, whenever I talk about sin, brother Agabi says, person will do bad things. I say, no, what do you mean? Tell him sin. He says, no, it's bad things. I said, let us pray that the Holy Spirit will take over. I said, make we pray that the giri power. Giri. I said, it's not giri power, it's the Holy Ghost. He said, no, we don't know any other thing than giri power. That's Holy Ghost in broken English. Giri power. I preached Sunday morning. Nothing happened. The people only came to shake me. They said, that's good message. I preached Sunday evening. Nothing. The pastor said, Kai, Bragule, you can explain the Bible very well. In fact, the way my people are just enjoying you. He didn't know that he was choking me with a dagger. I came to see souls saved. When I finish, they will come and shake hands with me. They will still be smoking as they are going home. I say, oh my God. Monday, I preach. Nothing happened. Tuesday, I came back to Kasnada. I said, God, if nothing happens today, I will tell them that you are not with me. So we will close the meeting. I prayed and prayed and prayed. Do you know what God told me? He said, go and get Deacon Zay. Let him follow you. So I went to Baba's office. I said, Deacon Zay, there's a meeting I'm doing in First Baptist Church. Will you like to come? He said, yes. So when we are going, the Lord said, tell Deacon Zay to give his testimony. The revival that affected the First Baptist Church that year has produced several pastors out of that congregation. Several pastors. Some of them are pastoring large churches now in Lagos. So Deacon Zeb stood up. I just stood up and announced to the church. I said, before I speak tonight, I want to introduce to you Deacon Zeb, who was diaconated in 1962, baptized in 1951. he will tell you what happened to him just recently. Oh, when that Baba stood up, he said, look at me. I would have gone to hell. Says, you are all Baptists. None of you is more Baptistic than myself. By the time he started telling how he thought this, that, until the word of God came to him. He said, that is when I became born again. And I want to tell you, if you are not born again, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Once he landed there, I got away now. And I stood up. And I said, did you see Baba? I never made two sentences without referring to him. That night, I had not finished preaching. When one man ran out of the congregation, he ran out as if something was chasing him. And by the time he came to the altar, Papa God, Papa God, Papa God, have mercy on me. Oh, I'm a terrible man. I'm a womanizer. I used to beat my wife. Hey, Papa God. Ah. The meeting stopped. I couldn't continue. He disrupted the good message. Before we will finish with his own case, others were coming up. This one said, I locked my wife with a padlock of madness, because she used to trouble me. What can I do? Come to my house. The following day, we were going from house to house, destroying idols, destroying charms. People were repenting with tears. Praise the Lord! Friends, there's power in the gospel. But how will they believe in whom of whom they have not heard? I realize that salvation is simple. The price of our salvation has been paid. But there was one matter that is keeping people under the bondage of darkness. They have not heard. I want you to pray with me tonight, that all the people you are presuming have heard, God will give you opportunity to go and check. What have they heard? People that you thought they already know the gospel, can you take it upon yourself from this meeting to again state the word of God as simple as it is, trusting that the word of God will work? You'll be surprised. You'll be surprised what God will do. So the Bible said, but how will they believe in him of whom they have not heard? What's the next question? And how shall they hear? Excuse me, how will they hear without a preacher? Will they hear without a preacher? So what is the critical need now? The preachers. Preacher. Preachers. Preachers. Where there are no preachers, men will perish. Where there are no preachers, men are likely to perish, even though their bread had been made ready by God. Where there are no preachers, young girls, they will be washed away in immorality. I can't exhaust the testimonies of the gospel that I have experienced all the time. I have realized, and that was my cry. Let me tell you one thing I cried to God about. I say, oh God, give me capacity
to make your word as clear as possible, so that nobody will say, I did not hear or I did not understand. That has been my cry. Thank God that Baba Justice Wande is here. In those early days in Adipo, we go into schools, St. Andrews, ACC, all those colleges. You remember your red beetle, sir, that we used to go about with, going everywhere preaching. And one of those days, we went to a small school, ACC, in Adipo. And students gather, and as we were preaching, the word of God came. I wanted to explain how to be born again. The children cannot understand. I said, Lord, how can I explain born again? And that night, the Lord, that evening, God just gave me a small wisdom. He said, somebody was born again in the Bible. I was there. And the children were eager. I said, Who is he? I said, Nebuchadnezzar was born again. They said, How? I said, Nebuchadnezzar was a king. I described him. I said, but one day, God just came to me and said, Nebuchadnezzar, you will be born again, though. You will become a goat. How can it be? See, so that night as he slept, what did God do? God take away the heart of a man from him and put what? The heart of a goat. I say, student, let us imagine that he had mark like mine. The children said, huh? So when he woke up in the morning and his wife came to greet and said, good morning. Instead of the king to do as he normally did, because on the face he was the same. His leg, his hand, his stomach look alike, but he was born again because he has got a different heart now. There's a different life in him now. So when he opened his mouth, he said, Mah. Come and see secondary students. They were excited. When they brought food for him, fried chicken with fried fish, when they brought him, I said, why can he not eat fried chicken again? Say, God, no, they eat meat, oh. Why is he not going to eat meat again? He said, because he is born again. It was interesting. So when I finished that, I said, so the reason why you are always living in sin is because the heart you have is the heart of sin. When you will be born again, now God will take that one out and he will put into you the heart of his own son that never sins. So that even when you wake up, your face is the same on the outside, the same, but inside, brand new. By the time I finished, and I taught them a little song, students in Form 1, Form 2, Form 3, they were crying. I want to be born again. I want to be born again. I said, do you know what it means? Say, I want a different heart. The heart that I carry is the heart of a liar, is the heart of a sinner. I used to fornicate. Give me a new heart. Oh my God. I thought that what we did not last. Because I didn't see some of those children again after many years. They all graduated, they went their own way. Only for me and my wife one day to arrive in Scotland, far away in the UK. And as I was arriving, I saw one lady. She just said, Uncle Billy, the time I have spent
For the old man is enough. I will now live for Jesus forever. I was surprised. She said, you forgot. I am that small girl at ACC. I was in Form 1. When you told us about how Nebuchadnezzar was born again, that was the day I became born again. And you taught us a song that the time I spent for the old man is enough. I have not stopped singing that song since that time. And my life has never changed. I mean, has never remained the same since that time. She is a pastor's wife there. They took me to their house. I ate. Now, the gospel is the power of God for changing men. But never you presume that they have heard. Many people have not heard the gospel sufficiently as for them to believe, as for them to call on the name of the Lord. So you are going to commit yourself tonight and say, oh God, if men will not hear unless there is a preacher, make me your preacher. And give me clarity to express the gospel as simple as possible. The gospel is the power of God to change men. I'm expecting that by the grace of God, when I get to heaven, there will be many, many, many brothers and sisters that I will meet. And they will be telling me the story of how what we said to them brought them to heaven. I'm trusting God for that. It's the greatest joy I could ever have. Of meeting people on the road. They say, you remember. You taught us this. You said this to us. I understood this. My life changed. But how will they believe in whom of whom they have not heard? How will they hear where there is no preacher? Permit me not to go to the next question. The next question will take us onto the logistics, but we can't deal with that tonight. That is going to lead us to the next level of our response unto the word of God as regards preaching the gospel. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. One thing I'm begging God to do, that at the end of this meeting, you will be preachers. It will be your joy that every opportunity, as a teacher in secondary school, as a teacher in the university, some of you are lecturers, but you thought that all your students have heard. They have not. They've not sufficiently heard of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of your lecturers are your colleagues. They've not heard. What you think they have heard is a muddled up gospel. Some of them, they were only told what they should not do. And as they were not able to obey it, they felt their own is finished. And they have gone living in sin. Because nobody has spoken clearly to them of the loving Savior and the work He did at Calvary. I want to agree with me as we pray together. Lord, make me your voice. Give me the ministry of reconciliation. Give me the word of reconciliation. Let me go everywhere, speaking to as many as I can speak to, reaching as many as I can reach, using all wisdom, becoming all things to all men, if we might win some. Are you with me tonight? Would you like to pray and say, Father, the only thing that remains now is that there are no preachers. Isn't it? Salvation is done. Provision from God had been made. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised again. He appeared to many. And the faith that comes, righteousness by faith, is not about going to heaven to bring Jesus down. It's not about fasting to go and bring Jesus down. It's not about going to the deep to go and bring Jesus up. He said the word is in your mouth. If you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Lord and that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. But how can they believe in whom of whom they have not heard? How would they hear where there are no preachers? Lord, make me your voice. Stand up with me as we pray together. Lord, make me your voice. Make me your voice. Let not men go to hell because there are no preachers when I am here. Let nobody perish despite all you did because I have not told them what you have done. Pray and say, Lord, make me a voice for you. Make me a voice for you. Make me your preacher. Let me speak it as simple as possible. Let me speak it. Teach me how to present your word. Give me clear illustrations that will make the gospel simple and straightforward. Let's pray. Let's pray. God is giving us opportunities. Opportunities. I want you to know that the power of the gospel is total, is sufficient to save as many as will call on the name of the Lord. Oh, please pray. Brothers and sisters, I want you to ask God, put afresh in me the love of the Word of God. Create in me a fresh hunger to share the truth, to share the Word of God with all those that are in need. You are not too old to preach. Are you a retired officer? Look at many, many of your retired colleagues. Do you know that they have not heard? I am always surprised when people say, I've never heard. I've never heard the word of God like this. Pray tonight, Lord, make me your voice. Make me your voice. Give me the ministry of reconciliation. There are many, many, many friends. Many are locked up in churches they've never heard. Some are on the street, nobody has told them. Some are just drifting. You thought that they have known. They are not. Many, they appear very, very wicked. All because nobody has taught them the word of God. This night, ask the Lord, make me your voice. Put this fire of the gospel in my heart. The simplicity of the gospel. Help me to preach it and make it plain. Those of you that are lecturers, let me tell you, begin to say to God, all my students, every student of mine, I want to take opportunity of sharing the gospel. I don't want to presume that they have heard. Make it simple in my mouth. Those of you that are nurses, tell God that as patients come to you, God will give you wisdom to express the gospel, to say it simple, that men may be saved. Those of you that are mechanics, as you are working on people's cars, ask God to give you grace to be able to explain the gospel. Simple, you will see them saved. Right in their car, they will sit and say, pray for me, I want to be saved. Believe the gospel. Believe in the power of the word of God. As many as shall call on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Tonight, one more time, we are coming very gradually to a very critical point. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world among the nations, and then the end shall come. Can I imagine that the several thousands of us here, if we go out now to go and preach, if we go out now to go and preach, there is an uncle of yours, there is a junior brother of yours, there is a friend of yours, there's a cousin, there's a nephew, there are colleagues in your office, they have not heard. What they have heard is a complicated gospel. People have told them many, many things that is not the gospel. People have preached about witchcraft, they have preached about the ancestral spirits, they've not told them about Jesus. They've not told them about the man of Calvary. Can you go? Can you go? Here am I. Send me. Here am I. Send me. As the Lord needs somebody. Here am I. Send me. Here am I. Here am I, here am I, send me, as the Lord needs somebody. Here am I, send me, here am I, here am I, send me, here am I, Lord. I don't want to be ashamed of the gospel again. I don't want to be ashamed of the gospel again. I want to go and preach. I want to go and tell my friends. I want to go and tell my colleagues. I want to tell my classmates. I want to tell those that we retire together. As the Lord needs somebody, here am I. Send me, here am I, here am I. Send me, here am I, Lord. How can the blood of people be on my heart? You have talked politics, you have talked business, you have talked other things. How can you not explain the simple word of God, the gospel that will save souls, the gospel that will change men? Oh God, here am I. Are you saying to God, here am I, send me. Here am I, oh God. Here am I. Don't let souls of men go to hell because I've not spoken, because I've not preached. Don't let my unbelief stop me from preaching. Do you know there are many children, many students, many young people, many women, rural dwellers, they are in the village, only for them to hear the word of God, they will be saved. They will be saved. How can we be callous? How will you be callous, my brother? How will you have what can change men, and you are reluctant to talk about it? Let's pray tonight. Here am I, here am I, send me. As the Lord needs somebody, here am I, send me. Here am I, here am I, here am I. Oh Lord Jesus. As the Lord needs somebody, here am I, send me. Here am I. Are you saying to the Lord, here am I? Lift up your hands to God and tell God, create in me tonight a desire to preach the gospel. The only thing that remains, everything is ready. The dinner is ready. It only remained a preacher. what God is demanding.
Who will go for us?